Dear precious souls of God, we hope you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Now open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, we'll be reading from verse 1. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 9. We'll be reading from verse 1. As I've said, we are going into a new subject today. And today, I'll be building a foundation into the new teachings that I'll be giving you. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to teach you today is very important. It will cause you to understand everything I'll teach you from next week. So today I'm going to share a lot of things. I don't know whether some of you may get lost, but just bear with me. It's a foundation. As we continue in the next couple of weeks, you'll begin to understand why I taught you what I'm going to teach you today first. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what I'm going to call this series. I'm still searching for a name. But today I'm going to be teaching you about God's prophetic timeline. Someone say, God's prophetic timeline. Hallelujah. So I'm going to start teaching you basically about what is going to happen in the future. Okay? Based on the Bible. Now, there's so many interesting things that are going to happen. And as a child of God, I think it is important that you know. Hallelujah. And I hope that as I teach, because as when I read and study these things, they blow my mind. So I hope that as I teach them and feed you the word of God, they will really, really have a great impact in your heart and will cause a huge transformation and will cause you to see life in a different way. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I remember when my father passed away, and I was listening to a song one day, and the song says, when all is said and done, what does it's a Don Muen song. I just forgot the lyrics, but did I do my best? Did I give my all to God? And so on and so forth. And as I was listening to that song, I started thinking of my father. And I started thinking about his life based on what the Bible tells us in the book of Luke. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke that there were two gentlemen who died, the rich man and Lazarus. Do you remember? And Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom, the rich man went into hell. And they both were having different experiences, but both had died. And I asked myself that, I don't know where my father is, and I don't know what he's experiencing where he is now. But I wondered that, if he would, based on, he has experienced what he has experienced, if he would come back to the earth, how would he live his life based on what he has seen that we haven't seen? Based on what he is experiencing that we haven't experienced? Do you understand what I'm saying? If we get a taste of that life, it can really transform us and change our outlook in life or of life. So what I'm hoping is that after I've shared these new teachings with you, it will change your outlook of life. And will cause you to dedicate yourself to Jehovah. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Now, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. I'm going to do my best to preach for a short time. The Bible says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. Powerful, powerful scripture. Amen. You know, one day we went to the Eastern Cape. I believe we were in Port Elizabeth, if memory serves me right. And where we were next to the ocean. And I remember, you know, going to the seashore, and I stood on a rock and I looked into the ocean. And as I looked as far as my eyes could see, and all I could see is water. And at some point, I couldn't see where the water ends and where the sky ends. And the waves were roaring. Hey! And the wind was blowing. And I felt so minute and felt so small that if this water would decide to come to the land, I'm finished. And I remember standing there and I thought to myself, the word of God is like this. If God were to give you a revelation of one scripture every day, one scripture, the same scripture, you can see something different from the same scripture every day for the rest of your life. Just one. Now there's 66 books in the Bible. But one, you can eat from it your whole life. Just one scripture. And so God's word is out of this world. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Amen. Just one scripture. God can reveal it to you every day. You'll see something that you've never seen from one. What a shock. So now this Daniel, just to give you some background, he is in Babylon. Now, Daniel is a Jew. So what had happened is that God's people were captured by the enemy and were brought to this foreign land, which is called Babylon. And they were captured. Hello, are you here? Please, I need you to focus on me because the things I'm going to teach today, I need you to understand. Otherwise, you'll be lost for the rest of the series. Okay? Now, those people were captured from their land where they used to live and where the city of David was. The city of David is Jerusalem. So they were captured and they were taken to this foreign land called Babylon. And they were captured by a king called Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel was one of the people who were captured and were brought to this place called Babylon. Now, they had been there for years. And Daniel's life had been fantastic. And they had been there up to about 70 years. And when Daniel read the scriptures, he read the book of Jeremiah. And he read Jeremiah's notes. And he read what Jeremiah said that God had told him. And one of the things that, you know, God had told Jeremiah was that my people are going to be slaves or will be captive in this foreign land for 70 years. And so 70 years had come, and so Daniel started asking God and said, Lord, you said Jerusalem will be desolate for 70 years, and 70 years have come and passed. What now? What's going to happen now? Someone say, what now? So this is what led Daniel to begin to pray and ask God certain questions about God's people who are in a foreign land and about Jerusalem, which is where they originally come from, the land that God had promised to Abraham. Hallelujah. So I read it again. In verse 2 it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Quickly come to Jeremiah chapter 25 from verse 10. Jeremiah 25 from verse 10. Are you there? Quickly, I'm running out of time. Jeremiah chapter 25, we'll be reading from verse 10. The Bible says, "Moreover, I will take from the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle." Verse 11. "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Someone say 70 years. So this is a scripture that Daniel was referring to. That I read where Jeremiah said that God said Jerusalem will be desolate for 70 years. That word desolate means that Jerusalem will be empty for 70 years. Jerusalem will be in ruins for 70 years. God said that I will take the voice of the bride. I will take the voice of the groom. In other words, there will be no marriages in Jerusalem for 70 years. There will be no children who are born for 70 years. There will be no people who are working, finding work, prospering for 70 years. Jerusalem will be empty. Jerusalem will be desolate for 70 years. And when Daniel read, he said, "Hey, when I look back, the 70 years have come and passed. Lord, what now?" Someone say, "What now?" So in Daniel chapter 9 verse 3, the Bible says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." And he continues praying for a while. Let's jump to verse 20. Daniel 9 verse 20. Are you there? And Daniel says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." So the Bible says that when Daniel was busy praying, suddenly he fell into a vision. And in this vision, an angel came to him. And he recognized this angel because this angel had visited him before. And this angel is one of only three angels that we know in the Bible that were named. We know Gabriel, we know Michael, and we know a fallen angel whose name was Lucifer and now is Satan. Hallelujah. In case somebody didn't know, Satan used to be an angel and now he's a devil. What a shock. So this angel called Gabriel makes his way to Daniel. And he says that, "I have been sent to give you skill and understanding." Now let's read verse 24. This is what the angel is saying to Daniel. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, whenever I read this scripture, because I read my Bible in the King James Version, and in the King James Version, it talks about 70 weeks. So for many years that I've read this scripture, I often thought that this angel is talking about the 70 years that Jeremiah saw, that God's people will be, you know, in the land of captivity. But of late, I commissioned myself and dedicated myself to study what is going to happen. And when I began my studies, I found out that this 70 weeks is not 70 years. This 70 weeks is actually 490 years. So in this particular scripture, the word week here stands for 7 years. So what the angel was saying, that 70 times 7 years, these things are going to happen. Now, what is he saying? He says that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. The people are Jews, Hebrews, God's people, Abraham's natural seed. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, which is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. In other words, God was saying that it's going to take me 490 years to deal with my people before they can become righteous and before that peace will come between me and my people. This is what the angel was saying to Daniel. I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. I think it explains it more beautifully. Oh man, I hope it opens. Yes, Daniel. Daniel chapter 9 verse 24. All right, I know that my preaching, I might be speaking parables, but bear with me. It will make sense over the weeks, okay? So I'm reading the same scripture from another version. The Bible says, 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, have been decreed for your people and for your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make atonement or reconciliation for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, right standing with God, to seal up the vision and prophecy and prophet, and to anoint the most holy place. So, for you to understand this, you know, you'll have to read the book of Kings. Now, what happened is that one day, there was a young man, a woman, who was married in a polygamous relationship. In other words, you know, a husband had more than one wife. And this woman, you know, she couldn't give birth. And the other wife was having children, you know, like a duck. She was releasing many children every year, a new release. So this lady who couldn't bear children started crying to God. Her name was Hannah. And she asked God to give him children. And she made a deal with God. And she said to God, I noticed that you don't have a prophet. He said that if you give me a child, I will give that child back to you so that you can have a prophet. So God said, I like this deal, And soon thereafter, this lady became pregnant, and she gave birth to a child and named that child Samuel. That child became a spectacular prophet, one of my favorite prophets in the Bible. You know, Samuel was so prophetic that if you have a problem, when you come to him, he's going to tell you the problem that you have, and then he's going to tell you the solution. He was that deep in the prophetic. So anyway, this child became the prophet, the main prophet in Israel. And years later, because God used to lead his people through prophets. Hello, focus. Tell your neighbor, say focus. So God used to lead his people through prophets. And years later, God's people started complaining and said, we don't want to be led by prophets anymore. We want to be led by a king, because all nations around them were not being led by prophets, but were being led by kings. So God allowed and accepted, and God now chose a person whose name was Saul, and he became the first king over Israel. And there have been many kings after that. That's why it's called the Book of Kings. It's the book of the lives of the different kings who ruled the nation of Israel. Now, there are very few kings who did the will of God. One of the most spectacular ones that we all know is David. David's heart was for God, to the point that God promised David that forever you will sit on the throne. Someone say forever.
Forever.
Hey, what a promise. So, but some of these kings were wicked. Some of these kings led God's people to stray away from the will of God and stray away from the precepts of God. Now, the way that God will lead his people, for example, he said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So this is how God was leading. He was leading his people based on his word. But some of these kings were now doing sacrifices. Some of them were causing their children to go through fire, and they started worshiping other gods. And they led God's people to do all sorts of wickedness and evil and turn God's people away from God. And like I told you on Sunday last week, that whoever has power, the people follow. It's just that simple. So God finally got fed up, and God allowed his people to be punished. And that's why this king called Nebuchadnezzar came and overpowered Israel. It was a way of punishment. Now God says, for my people to become right with me, it will take a period of 490 years. Are we together? Let's continue reading. Someone say God's prophetic timeline. Let's read verse 25. Daniel 9:25. Hey, this is not a shouting message. This message is you must stick with me. Follow where I'm going, okay? Are we all there? The Bible says, this is the angel still speaking to Daniel. It says, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Hallelujah. A King James can sound like Chinese. But what this angel was saying to Daniel, he says, Daniel, first and foremost, it's going to take 490 years to correct the wrongs that God's people had done. Are we together? Then the angel says, from the time that a decree or a decision is made to rebuild Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem is now desolate. Nothing is living there. No people are there. He says, from the time a decree is made to rebuild the Jerusalem, it's going to take 49 years. Stay with me. From that time when the decision is made to the time that Jerusalem is rebuilt, is going to take 49 years. And it says then, from that time until the Messiah is cut off, the Messiah being cut off, the angel is talking about the death of Jesus Christ. It says, from the time that Jerusalem is built to the time that Jesus dies, is going to take 434 years. So when you add these years together, it comes to 483 years. And how long will it take for God to correct the wrongs? 490 years. So, listen, please don't get confused. So, Israel has done wrong. God punishes them. God says, to correct your wrongs is going to take 490 years. That 490 years will begin when we take when the decision is taken to rebuild Jerusalem. So from that moment, it's going to be 49 years up until Jerusalem is built. And then once Jerusalem is built, we'll begin another timeline, which will take 434 years till the Messiah is killed. That is Jesus Christ. Now, when you add these years, it's 483 years. Now, there's 7 years left to accomplish that 490 cycle that I've explained. Hallelujah. You look so confused. Bear with me. So there are 7 years remaining. So now you and I will agree that Jesus has come, true or not true. He walked on the earth and he died. Amen. And on the third day, he resurrected from the dead. In other words, of the years that God had mentioned, 483 have taken place. In the year that Jesus died, laid in the grave and resurrected, it was the 483rd year. In other words, in God's prophetic calendar, based on what he said to Daniel, there are 7 years left. Someone say there's 7 years left.
7 years left.
Now, the end of the world, so to say, comes at the end of those 7 years. Now, those 7 years were supposed to begin when Jesus died. The final 7 years were supposed to have begun. But by God's grace and mercies, he stopped his prophetic watch. And he said, we are going to pause time here prophetically. And we will have what we call a grace period. Someone say grace period. Now, all this time, God had been talking about Jerusalem. God had been talking about the Jews. God had been talking about Israel. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 16, for the first time, we hear God say, The Bible says, for God so loved the whole world. Now he's not being selective. You are black, you are white, you are Chinese, eh? You are short, you are thin, you are woman, you are male, you are big, you are fat. Doesn't matter. God so loved the whole world. So God stopped his prophetic calendar to give everybody a chance. Everyone. To give them a chance to have a relationship with him and to become his children. Are you listening to me? Amen. It's a crazy grace. It's amazing. Amen. It makes me fall in love with God afresh. Amen. Now, when I start teaching more in depth, when you come to church from next week, you must bring notebooks because you can see this teaching is not like how I normally teach. So, everything has happened up until the 483rd year. Now, the prophetic calendar has stopped. And we are in a season of grace, which we do not know how long it will last. His disciples asked him, and said, Lord, when will these things happen? Jesus said, Namangas matot. Only the Father knows. So there'll come a day where God says, all right, it's time. Let the watch continue ticking. And the final 7 years will begin. Are you listening to me? Amen. Now, I'm sure you have heard of 666. I'm sure you have heard of the Antichrist. His time only begins when that 7 years begins. So while God has stopped his prophetic calendar, the Antichrist cannot come into the world and he cannot manifest. I'll teach you this more in depth in the coming weeks. But God has stopped everything just to allow as many, many people to receive the message of the gospel and to be born again, and so that their eternal destiny will be in heaven and not in hell. So, in God's prophetic calendar, we are in that grace period, which is also called the church age. Now, when that grace period ends, the final 7 years will begin. And ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to be there. I promise you. You don't want to be there. You want to be amongst those who will escape. It's not going to be fun during those 7 years. Jesus said that you must thank God that that time has been shortened. In other words, it's 7 years. It could have been 30 years. The things that will happen in those 7 years, many people are afraid to read the book of Revelation, because those things that are written in the book of Revelation, that whole book, Daniel is seeing what will happen in 7 years. Not Daniel, John is seeing what will happen in 7 years. Now, we are in the 480th year. And we are in the grace period. Now, there is going to be an event that is going to take place that will cause the 7 years to begin. And that event is called the rapture. Someone say rapture. Come with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Where's my Bible? First Thessalonians chapter 4. From verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Are we there? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul begins to describe what is going to happen in this event that the church has called the rapture. Mama, I'm saying, are you listening to me? So Paul says that there will come a day where all of a sudden those who are dead in Christ will resurrect, will come back to life. And then after they resurrect, they will go to the clouds. So Jesus will come and stop in the clouds. So the day that Jesus comes will be a cloudy day, not like this. And he will stop at the clouds. And suddenly people will start resurrecting, coming from the dead. And they will start flying up and they will meet Jesus in the clouds. And those who are born again, those who know Jesus, those who believe in him, will suddenly be changed. And they also, if we are alive by God's grace, we also will join the resurrected people and will go with Jesus on the clouds. And then once we meet him there, he will lead us to heaven. That whole group will go to heaven. Now, when that event happens, the last seven years will begin. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
Now, during these 7 years, there'll be two scenarios. And this is the things I'll start teaching you from next week. There'll be events that will be happening on the earth for 7 years. And then there'll be events that are happening in heaven for 7 years. Would you like to know what will be happening in heaven? Would you like to know what will be happening on the earth? I'll teach you so that, you know, in case you miss going to heaven, you will know what to do and what to expect during those 7 years. Maybe you will survive. Then the 7 years will take place. And then at the end of those 7 years, Jesus is going to come back with all those people that had resurrected and all those people that were transformed. He's going to come back with them. And he's literally going to fight the armies of the world. If Russia has an army, he's going to fight it. Any army that will be fighting against Israel, he's going to literally come and fight. And we, whoever will be with Jesus, will be fighting with him. We will fight and overcome the armies of the world, and Jesus will be the main ruler of the world, the whole world. And the Bible says he will rule for 1,000 years. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, he's going to submit himself to God the Father. And after that 1,000 years ends, then eternity begins. So that is God's prophetic timeline. It begins with that 490 years. It starts at the decision to rebuild Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, it took 49 years for it to be rebuilt. And from that time that it was rebuilt and finished, there was 483 years until Jesus came and he died. At the moment that he died and resurrected, a dispensation of grace began. where we are now. That's the timeline we are in now. We are in that season of grace that we have no idea how long it will be. And as soon as the rapture takes place, it triggers the last 7 years that will happen. There'll be events that will take place on the earth during those 7 years. There'll be events that will take place in heaven. After the 7 years, Jesus will come back and he will war with Satan and the enemies of and the kingdoms of this world. He will take over it and he will rule the world for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, he will submit everything to God the Father. And when he has done that, eternity begins, where the rest forever happens. Forever means forever. So what we will be doing in the next couple of weeks, I'll begin to teach on the remaining prophetic events that are going to happen. I'll be teaching you on what is going to be happening. What will be happening on the earth? What will be happening in heaven? I'll be teaching on the resurrection. What I've been praying to the Holy Ghost is that as I teach, I know you'll have questions. I want to teach in such a way that as you have the question in your mind, I answer it by my teaching. For example, the Bible says that there'll be people who resurrect and go to heaven. And there'll be people who remain on the earth, right? And then when Jesus comes back, those resurrected people will come back with him. And then the people who have been on the earth, who will survive that 7 years, will be here. Now the resurrected people will be transformed. They will not look like the people who will be left on the earth. What will be happening in that time? How will life be? Will people be getting married? Will people be going to work? What type of life will we live in those 1,000 years? What's going to happen in eternity after all these events have taken place? Don't you ask yourself those questions? By God's grace, I plan to answer all those questions in the next coming weeks, where you will understand the events that are going to take place. And I'll also show you why some events must take place according to the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, like I said, today's message is just laying foundation. Because everything I'll teach you from next week will not make sense unless I have laid this foundation. Please don't miss what's coming. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. You don't want to miss the next couple of weeks. I will give you information, loads of information, on what will be happening in those days. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord one more time. Let's rise to our feet. Amen. Yeah. That's why I can confidently say that coronavirus and the vaccines are not 666. They are not. Because they cannot be 666. Because the Bible tells us that the Antichrist cannot come until the last 7 years begin, and they've not yet begun. Pastor, how will I know that they have begun? On that day you see resurrected people, dead people coming back to life, then you will know. On that day that you see Jesus standing on the clouds, then you will know. On that day that you see yourself going to the clouds, then you will know. If you miss the clouds, on the day you look for me and you can't find me, then you will know it has begun. It has been telling him it has begun. It has begun. Hallelujah. It will be a crazy 7 years. If God allows, I'll even teach you where the Antichrist will be coming from. The Bible shows us where he will be coming from, which country he will be coming from. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But these teachings are deep. All right? They're not the teachings that I see you having a house. You are having dominion this year. It's not those types. It's just giving you understanding. The angel said to Daniel, I'm giving you skill and understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was telling Mom Ruth that I wish I could teach this in a retreat session. But unfortunately, it is what it is. So make sure that when you come next week, you come with notes, with notebooks, so that you don't miss. In case something I say just flies over your head, just write it down. When you are sitting at home, you will now make sense of everything that I said. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to pray for yourself and say, Lord, the teachings that are coming, give me the grace to understand. Give me the grace. Give me revelation of your word in the next couple of weeks. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Just ask him that simple prayer. I ask for that grace, Lord. Cause me to understand.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope that you're blessed. For inquiries, contact 082-682-6048 or send us an email at info@healingfireministries.com or go to our website www.healingfireministries.com. May God be with you.